Hello, everybody. This is Jake Sanziano, host of the Jake and Gino podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, the chef, the father of six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barber. Gino, how's it going?
Stenziano, love the shirt, brother. Tommy Bahama's blue. Looking good on you. Looks better on you than it does on me. That's all I'm saying.
Every time you come into my city, bling, bling. And Gino, I'm always making it happen, big man. Today's guest is the CEO of P3 Cost Analysis. They help companies across the nation determine if their spending is cost effective and uncover any hidden errors. God, man after my own heart. So without further ado, Andrew Stahl, welcome to the show.
I appreciate it. Appreciate you guys having me on here.
It is our pleasure. So please share with us your background story and how you got started in the business.
Sure thing. I got started in college. I was actually in the real estate game early on. It's probably my junior year of college. I caught the entrepreneurial bug, just saw people getting ready to get a real 9-to-5 job, wear a suit and tie, and that absolutely terrified me. So I started looking for ways
great
to make
instinct.
Money. Yeah, right. And so I started looking for ways to make money. And around Northwest Arkansas at the time, the real estate market was booming, really nationwide. It was booming. Originally thought I might get into some rental properties, but property was too expensive. So I put a team together to actually build some spec houses and did that for a while and had some success. And then like everybody else had the same idea about the same time, and the market became quickly oversaturated and subsequently almost lost my lost my shirt a couple of years later. So it was a good learning experience at a very young age. While I was doing that, I knew I didn't want to do construction forever. I'm sure some of your listeners have been in the construction business, and it's a tough one to be in. I don't have any hair left, right? I think I lost it at a young age from the construction biz. So I was looking for an alternative, another business to get into. And there wasn't really anybody doing the consulting game, the cost reduction game in this part of the country. So I found a company that specialized in waste and recycling and had them train me on waste and recycling, all the ins and outs of the business, and then opened up shop in Northwest Arkansas and signed a few clients up, hired a couple employees, and then we've just been scaling it from there.
So you became a mole, you went in, learned the inside game, and then you flipped it on them on the outside. Is that what I'm hearing here?
It wasn't quite that nefarious. It was a more symbiotic. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's how Jake looks at it. Listen, Aaron, you lost your shirt. You could have asked Jake for Tommy Bahama's blue shirt at the time if you'd known Jake back then.
I would have given it to you. Shirt off my back.
I could have used that at the time.
I mean, how did you get the idea? Like, it's a totally different business. How did you transform and say, I want to get into cost reduction, waste reduction? And you think you could have scaled it to the size that you are right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I created the industry. I mean, the cost reduction industry has been around for a while. I just looked at hundreds of different business opportunities as I was looking to transition out of construction. And the cost reduction industry really caught my eye just because you get to work with all different types of industries. And I've got a little bit of just business ADD, like everything interests me. And so I thought the idea of getting to work with manufacturers, you know, real estate, apartment complexes, restaurant groups, you name it, was going to be pretty fun. And so that's really what attracted me to it. And then, there was a company that had kind of perfected the model on the waste and recycling side as far as cost reduction consulting. And their model was really just to train people on how to do it. And so I went down there, got trained by them, and then independently opened up my own shop. And then from there, just added more and more cost reduction services, hired people, and then eventually converted the business to a franchise that it is today with quite a few different cost reduction categories.
All right.
So Aaron, what we typically do, because multifamily is so scalable and repetitive, early on, we set sort of standards of what we think good looks like. I'll give you an example. $75 per month for an 8-yard dumpster is sort of our... Like we will not pay above that. And we've set that as a benchmark across the organization in multiple locations. And we know that if anything creeps up beyond $50 per unit per month in total water costs, we're getting into that red zone. It doesn't mean it can't be better, but we've kind of implemented these thresholds as KPIs throughout our organization to safeguard against that cost creep. And fortunately we have data from multiple complexes that we own, so we can kind of collect the data and see what's out there from a shopping perspective. Is that a good way to start in this business, or are we looking at it wrong?
No, I think that's actually, a really good way to look at it. I mean, essentially that's what we're doing, except on a much bigger scale and a much more focused scale. So, I mean, we've got tens of thousands of data points around the country from clients that we worked with over the years. And then we've got decades of focused expertise on each of these industries. And so when you combine all that data with that focused expertise, you're going to be able to drive value at least 90% of the time. I mean, there's always clients, well, 10% of the time there's clients that we go work for and we can't help them, but 90% of the time we can. And that's because, like, even the clients that really have everything buttoned up, there's always going to be something that we find.
There's always slippage. It's yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I tell my clients, like, look, you know, if you wanted to hire, for focusing on waste and recycling, if you wanted to hire a waste and recycling expert, put them on staff for a salary and have them only do this, and then incentivize them for every dollar of savings they find over the current benchmark, they get a bonus. You know, I guess you could probably get the same result.
They're the kings of the cost creep too. And fortunately for us, our accounting lead actually started off in that business, and so she knows some of the ins and outs and the bullshit. You want to talk about, man, there's so many groups that we work with. They will just send a price increase. They will just raise rates and never tell you about it. So if you're not on top of your shit, you get a bill and, like, you look back 10 years later and it's doubled or tripled and they've never told you. So many groups that we work with that, hey, here's, you know, price increase. You didn't tell me. You're right. We didn't tell you because we don't want you to know about it. It's part of the game, right?
Right, exactly. And unfortunately, that's honestly how almost every industry that we work with works. So, and we see it mainly with the Fortune 500 vendors versus some of the smaller vendors. But yeah, that cost creep, not honoring their own contracts, you know, making mistakes, billing mistakes.
Yeah, okay. The smaller companies still have some ethics. The bigger they get, they just throw them out the window, and it's part of the business plan.
It certainly seems that way. That being
it
said,
is that way. Come on, man. It's not a coincidence. All right.
Aaron, when you go into a business, how do you start the program? Like, what are you looking at, and how are you helping Jake and Gino or any other, let's say, multifamily company out there? What are you focusing on? How are you actually starting that cost reduction for the company?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a simple process. I mean, we know, depending on what industry you're in, which categories that we specialize in are going to be most likely to benefit you all. Just like if we go to work at a school, we're not going to probably audit their property taxes, right? They get funded by property taxes. Just like if we go go look at property or apartment complexes, they might not have that much uniform and linen invoices, right? So we're going to look at the categories that make the most sense for the business. And the proposition is really simple. It says, like, if we can find you savings and you agree to the savings that we find, and then we actually implement them on your behalf, once those savings actually hit your bottom line, we're going to share in them with you and earn a percentage of that. So
for how long?
It depends. We've got a few different options, 12 months, 36, 60. It just depends on what level of service the client wants, how much monitoring they want. I mean, there's just all sorts of different aspects to that decision, but we let the client choose, allow them that flexibility. So it's really just a completely risk-free engagement and an unlimited ROI. So it's pretty simple. We just need invoices to get started, and the client's okay.
You know, the great thing about expenses, Jake and Aaron, is $1 of expenses saved is a dollar in your pocket, whereas a dollar of revenue increase is probably 75 to 80 cents because, you know, you have expenses based on the revenue. So, Aaron, why would clients not elect to do this? What are some of the objections that you get from clients that say, no, I don't want to save money?
Yeah, no, that's probably one of the more frustrating aspects of the business. I think it's just because they're, in our opinion, there really isn't any reason to let us take a look. Because even if you have a team of people already doing it, all we're going to be doing is improving on what they're already doing. And if we don't find any savings, you've just got a clean bill of health by a group of experts that this is the only way they make a living is by improving operations.
There's a financial physical.
Exactly.
You can take that to the house. That's free.
Yeah, I'm going to write that one down. But there's really no reason. But I'd say some of the objections people have is just, the initial ones are, we've already got people doing that. We've already got a handle. They may think they've already got the best deal possible. That there's nothing to do there, or that we're just going to waste their time. I mean, to be fair, there are a lot of, like, propositions and stuff out there that we as business owners get bombarded with. So it's hard to sift through the noise. So I understand the skepticism and at the end of the day, if we get a chance, 90% of the time we're going to be able to help somebody. And the 10% that we're not going to send them an invoice. We're just going to say, hey, look, you're good to go. You got a clean bill of health. You know, you don't really need to have this audited again for the next several years. Maybe take a look at it a few years again from now.
I was going to say, in my humble opinion, I think anybody out there who's selling a multifamily property and wants to extract that NOI, and you're looking to position your property and you want to get the maximum dollars for it, reach out to Aaron. We're going to give that. Aaron, give me your contact information right now so the listeners can get a hold of you, because it's important, because you want to position your property and give yourself a 2 or 3 month runway so you start seeing these savings. But if you're ready to either refinance or exit your property, I'm going to even say if you want to make more money. But let's see those two, because that's really, really important, because you're going to extract so much more money by doing this. What's your contact information?
Yeah, it's just Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at costanalyst.com. So costanalyst with an S.com.
Okay, so I want them to reach out to that, because it's really, really important. When you're out there trying to position your property, don't leave any money on the table. And there's a lot of mom and pops out there. If you're going to sell to Jake and Gino, don't do that. Don't call Aaron. We want to find those savings with Aaron. But if you're out there really trying to position your property and get the maximum value, this is one of the areas to do it. Aaron, what areas are you looking at? You're looking at water, sewer. Give us an idea of the savings that you can generate for a Jake and Gino group.
I mean, yeah, we're looking at the utilities. It would depend on how they're set up, you know, if they're master metered or not. And we're not looking at residential costs. So if the residents are paying their own utility expenses, that's certainly not something we're looking at. But if it's master metered, we can take a look at that. But some of the areas we've had the most success with in property groups are going to be property tax, waste and recycling, and then telecom expenses. We've actually been surprised to see, like, some of these properties spending a decent amount on telecom. And it, I mean, and like by a decent amount, it can even be a few $100 a month. But if you're able to reduce that by 50% across 100 locations or something, then whatever cap rate you're selling at, it ends up being a pretty nice chunk of change in your pocket. So those are a few off the top of my head.
Aaron, when you started building the business, you said it's almost 20 years. How did you get into the franchising model, and what were the challenges of trying to franchise the business?
We, in 2018, we'd been working with a company for a couple of years that did telecom and utility consulting. So when we first started offering those services, we offered it through a strategic partnership. And after working with them for a couple of years, we just recognized the need to acquire them. And also, that company had a group of affiliates where they would train on the business model, and they would go out and market it. And so they'd explain the business model, but the company that we worked with was actually the back-end expertise. So there are all these affiliates out there onboarding clients, getting the invoices, explaining the services, but the back-end expertise was still done by the core company. And so we liked that model. We didn't like the fact that there were affiliates all operating under different names. It really made it look like the market had a million options and a million experts when there was really only one consolidated group of expertise. So we acquired the company and converted that affiliate program to a franchise in 2018. And we've been growing it that way ever since, all under the same brand.
What have been the challenges of growing it under the franchise model?
I mean, I think like franchising is just generally pretty complicated and expensive. I mean, there's all sorts of documents and legal fees and things you can say and can't say. And you've got to be just really careful with all that. And then, otherwise, I mean, I don't want to say it's been easy, but I mean, it's been, you know, we've got 42 franchises now. And so each franchise is independently owned and operated. So I guess maybe a blessing is that every franchise is their own business, but then also the challenge is that they're their own business. So you're working, you know, you're working with them as business owners, and that's different. You know, it's not like they're employees. We have to talk to each other, work with each other. It's like a symbiotic relationship. And so we chose that model because we liked it and we still like it. And so I think the benefits have been vastly outweighing any challenges.
Well, Jake heard lawyer and he started getting PTSD. He's like, oh no, I got to pay lawyers. Get the lawyers out of here. But let's talk about the benefits, because there are some amazing benefits.
I thought you were going to talk about beating the lawyers back and getting their fees locked in at 25%. Let's hear about that. I like that business model. Tell me about that.
I can hire maybe a consultant on how to do that, I guess.
Oh, you got the guy. You got like, the guy in the blue shirt. He's amazing at that. He will get you cost reduction of at least 25%. Give me some benefits of the franchise model for anybody out there thinking about franchising their business. I mean, there are significant barriers. I don't want to say significant, but there are some barriers to setting it up. But what are some of those benefits that you say you've achieved?
Well, I mean, I think the benefits are one, you don't have to go raise outside capital. I mean, people are buying into the business, right? So they're bringing in their own capital, starting their own business. You're training them on the model, and then you're working together to go achieve a common goal. So that is certainly one of them. Everybody operating under the same brand is great. So the bigger you get, the more brand recognition you get in the marketplace. And then I think probably the coolest part is just that as you grow and as you franchise, the collective franchise brain gets better. And so I just got back from sabbatical, which maybe we can talk about in a minute, but I came back and you see like all these different franchisees, these independent business owners who have like, you know, they're doing all sorts of stuff on their own to improve their businesses and like just making the brand, making themselves better, sharing ideas. One guy may have some method to really engage some certain sector of businesses that's working really well, and he shares it with everybody else and they can apply that. So I think that's, to me, the most fun part to witness is just the collective brain of the franchise getting smarter and better, and it's pretty fun.
Let's talk about the sabbatical. I guess you can weave it into the story of how you've been able to scale over the last 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point. I wasn't even really thinking about it from the scale aspect, but that's exactly what it's allowed me to do. So, and what I mean by that is I got the idea from Tim Ferriss with the 4-Hour Workweek. I'm sure you might, guys might be familiar with it, but he advocated for taking mini retirements every 5 years and not waiting until you're 65 to go pursue hobbies and passions and enjoy life. And that really resonated with me when I read the book. And I didn't have enough money to do that or enough traction in the business to do that when I discovered that or read that in 2007. But it gave me something.
How long is a sabbatical?
I think, I don't know actually what the technical term is, but I'd say in my mind, maybe 3 months. So, you know, or a month, I mean, 2 months, just really a
he's focus. Selling me backwards here.
Yeah, I mean,
but okay, you don't got to do maybe a month, man.
Okay. Well, I think it's probably more like just a focused period of time to not work and go deep into something you're interested in. It would probably be the best way I could describe it.
What are you interested in?
Oh, gosh. Geez. I mean, I've gotten so many hobbies, it's ridiculous. I'm a pilot flight instructor. I've gotten hardcore into surfing the last few years, which is a tough thing to learn at my age. But
how's the body hold up with that?
Actually really good. I mean, I came back from Indonesia after surfing for a month there and I was pretty ripped. So it's good. It's a great workout. I mean, I was surfing 4 to 6 hours a day there for a couple of weeks. So it's pretty fun. Yeah. So, but yeah, back to your original question. I mean, early on in the business, I couldn't do that. But he advocates for taking like 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off, 4 weeks off. And then just seeing how your business responds to taking that period of time off. Because if you take a week off and you come back, you've just got a pile of work to do. But if you take 3 weeks off, you come back, some of your employees have stepped up to solve some of those problems for you. You're gone just long enough to let things break and happen and then have them fix themselves. And we've seen the same thing in our business over the years. We take extended time off. So,
it's like the plane's propeller stops mid launch, then picks back up again and keeps going, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Something like that.
Aaron, we Jake often says that three things you need to scale. It's people, systems, and culture. How have you been able to retain and hire really quality people to build a culture in your company? Because this is all great. The reason why you couldn't do it early on is not because you didn't have any money. It's because you didn't have the systems and you probably didn't have the right people in the right seats. How have you been able to scale your business and how have you been able to retain quality employees?
Yeah, I think you know, our culture has always been work hard, play hard. I mean, early on in the company, it was just myself and Scott Swearingen, and he's a partner in the company now, and he's been with me 16 years, I think. And I mean, there were times when it was just us two, and we'd like, I'd hit him up and I'd be like, hey man, I met this guy who's going tornado chasing in Oklahoma. Like, we're taking off work at 3 o'clock today. We're going tornado chasing in Oklahoma. So I don't know. I'd have to ask him like what specifically made him stick around so long. Maybe he enjoyed the crazy adventures that his boss would drag him on from time to time. But as we scaled, we've kind of tried to keep that fun workplace mentality. And we've always allowed our employees to be very flexible. And we're not punching a clock. You don't have to report in. And we just expect you to be accountable, get your work done. And so early on, we really adopted that remote work philosophy. And then as COVID hit, everybody started doing that. And we kind of lost a little bit of that competitive advantage that we had as a small, flexible company. And that's when, you know, we rolled out the paid sabbatical program to the employees. So anybody that's been with us 5 years gets a month off, 10 years, 2 months off, and 15, three. And I guess if they're with us 20, we'll give them another 3 months off. So that was really well received. And I think just further solidified the culture that we have of just working hard, but enjoying your life along the way.
Last question before we go to the short answer section. What are some of the mistakes that you made for scaling a company?
Oh, gosh. I mean, all of them.
No one died in a tornado chase, though, right?
Yeah. That might have been a weird workers' comp claim, you know. But
no sharks. No sharks biting anyone while they're surfing. None of that.
I swear we were off the clock. No, he was on the clock. Come on.
Wow, mistakes we made along the way. You know. I'm kind of drawing a little bit of a blank just because I think I probably have too many mistakes in my head. So I may have to come back to that one. But suffice it to say, I think like just in business in general, you can sometimes feel like you're just constantly making mistakes. And that's just how you have to go. You have to be comfortable making mistakes, fixing problems, and just knowing that you don't know everything. And I think maybe that might be the one thing that's got me this far, is that I just am always aware that I'm not aware and knowing of everything. And I'll reach out to people that do know the answer and can advise and can help and help us get through any, you know, anything we don't know or any rough patches along the way.
Do you mind if I share a couple of hours with you?
Sure.
A couple of hours,
not an hour long. I'll make it really short.
We could be here.
I think the biggest one for us is we didn't hire fast enough. We waited too long to hire. And then sometimes when we hired the wrong candidate, they were on the bus too long and we didn't fire quick enough. Jake is really good at that right now. I think the other thing was we didn't establish core values and a mission statement, and we weren't true leaders early on. We tried to do everything ourselves, and that really slowed our growth. And when you have the IMA mentality, IMA gets burned out. IMA wants to do everything, edit podcasts, book podcasts, go look at deals, underwrite every single deal, do due diligence. And now that we've got a team, you're starting to allocate it. And that's probably a couple of our big ones, truly big ones, that when we look back at, that's, it's been challenging. And every now and again, you get caught in it, but you have to say to yourself, I'm hiring these great people. Let me give them the responsibility. Let me hold them accountable because they want to. They're not just trying to work for a paycheck. A lot of these employees, especially people who work for you and people who work for us, they really love the mission. And as a leader, sometimes we did not share the vision as well as we should have. And that may have gotten lost in the mix.
I think those are all great points. And I would agree with them completely. I mean, I think especially the firing fast enough, I mean, you can tell pretty quickly if somebody's going to be a good culture fit and if they're going to be productive. And I think we all want to see people succeed, and we probably honestly spend too much time trying to help them succeed in those roles when, you know, when you get a good employee in there, you know, from the get go. So that was resulted probably in a lot of wasted energy and a lot of wasted time. And then, yeah, good point too, because I think like I spent a lot of time down in the weeds, and I think the companies that I've seen that haven't scaled or grown are the people that have a hard time trusting other people. And you have to really let go and put people in there and trust them to do the job. And if it's not as perfect as what you would have done it, so be it. But that's the only way you're going to grow.
Well, I would just say check your ego.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I think the song says, Jesus, take the wheel. Right?
There you go.
Something like that. All right, guys, let's take a quick time out here from our sponsor.
Jake and Gino's Multifamily Mastery 6 is coming to the Gaylord Palms in Orlando, Florida this October 14th and 15th. Join Jake and Gino as they welcome special guests like Chris Voss, Luke Wren, David Green, and many more. Discover Jake and Gino's three-step framework for real estate success, enabling students to accumulate $4 billion in assets. MM6 is the multifamily event of 2023 that you do not want to miss. Go to jakeandgino.com/MM6 to reserve your tickets today.
All right, we're back. Yeah, no, I mean, when you're saying that, I'm just like, I'm hearing that song. Jesus, take the wheel. Like, you know, sometimes you gotta. It's hard though because you get scared about someone having autonomy that they're gonna screw up, and your fears are worse than the reality. So if you're going through that right now, like, I'll give you an example. For the longest time, for our maintenance leads, we haven't given them enough autonomy to make some of the calls and have more leadership. And that's something that we're kind of going back and addressing now. So it's just, for whatever reason, like, it's a hang up that we got stuck with. And now we're having to go back and correct that. But I think the key is, as long as you stay in it long enough, your awareness grows and expands, and it gives you the ability to at least correct those errors that you made early on. But I think that's a very good point that you make there.
Mm-hmm.
What else about scaling? So any tips or anything that you did, to grow the company that we can share with the folks out there? Because I think, you know, everyone starts off somewhere. You probably started off with your buddy, the Tornado Chaser there, but then ultimately it started to grow. So what are some tips that you have for folks that early on can really help propel them?
Honestly, what comes to my mind, I think, is that, like, most businesses, they want to grow. Like, if you're providing any reasonable amount of service, like, the natural inclination is for more people to start calling you, more opportunities to come at you. And I think, honestly, you actually have to try not to grow and not to scale. Like, because you have all these people coming at you, all these opportunities. And so, I think just recognizing that and taking advantage of it. And the people that don't scale and don't grow are the ones that, again, are not going to trust to delegate and trust to hire somebody and bring somebody in. So I just feel like I've seen that a lot, where a business and somebody's doing a good job and the business just naturally is coming at them. And so it's up to them at that point, whether they want to grow or not. And if you don't, you really just have to kind of fight it off. If you do, you're just taking natural steps to build a team underneath you.
Yeah. And probably do some self-reflection and find out what you really want. Because some people may be doing something, not even know why the hell they're doing it. And they could have a small little solopreneur thing, and that may fit or suit them well. So I think looking inwards and finding out what you really want is probably the biggest first step.
100%. Yeah.
Anything that you've read recently that's added value to your life that you want to share with the folks?
Actually, I just got done reading a book called The Power of Now. It's a little more kind of spiritual, if you will, but it's kind of just about being present and, not focusing too much on the past or the future and enjoying the present moment. And I think that's something that we probably all need to do a better job of, because it's easy to get caught up in financial forecasting and planning the next thing and just not really enjoying the moment that you're in. And it's a best-selling book. It's been around for a while.
Did you write it?
So. No, I didn't write it. I should have put. I need to write a book and plug it next time I get on one of these shows. But yeah, it's been a pretty good one.
So I know we're supposed to talk like more high level business perspective, but give me the number. Okay. Telecom. We got two phones and an internet. What should I be paying, dude? Don't hold back on me. Give me the number, man. Come on. Give me that number, bro. Come on.
Honestly, we've got a team of telecom consultants, and that's one reason we acquired the company that we were working with, because even working with them for years and being the CEO, I still wasn't smart enough to go in there and dissect it and get savings. Like, and
as
so
a good salesman says, give the guy a call and the team will help you out, folks.
Yeah, I'm dead serious. Like, I'm a waste and recycling expert, but the other categories I leave to our team, and they're the ones that generate the impressive.
So the 75 per 8 yard, you think that's a good metric?
I mean, it depends on where you're at. Yeah, I'd have to see more, but I mean, off the top of my head, it sounds like a decent price. Yeah.
Oh, made my day. Excellent. So if I want to take the next step with you and get that actual number that I need for my telecom, what's the best place for folks to reach out? What's the website, the hub where folks can get a hold of you?
Yeah, the website's just costanalyst.com. So they can go there and reach out to us there. We've got franchisees in 20 states now. So we'll just find whichever franchisee's closest, team you up with them. They can explain our suite of services. And if you're interested, we can onboard you and get started and see what we can do for you.
Awesome. Anything else coming down the pipeline that you're excited about? I know you're cranking out the franchise stuff. Anything else you want to share before we wrap this up?
I mean, I know it's the topic du jour, but I'm personally really focused on implementing a lot of artificial intelligence into the company at this time. So I've been geeking out on that quite a bit lately, and it's just really fascinating, all the technology out there. So we're going to be working pretty rapidly to streamline businesses and offer new services to our clients and to our team internally and implement that sort of stuff. So, I would encourage everybody to check out all that, because it feels like the internet in 1998, basically. Like, there's a lot of opportunity out there.
Robots taking over the world. Gino, wrap this baby up.
You have a young Aaron Stoll going to college. He's in real estate. Then he decides to get into construction. In 2007, 2008, all of a sudden, he's starting to lose his hair. He's losing his shirt. He's like, I got to get into another business, man. The hell, this construction thing is killing me here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get into the financial physical world. I want to get into this cost reduction business. And, you know, after 20 years, after 40-plus franchises, after continuing to scale the business, why not give Aaron a call? It's a pay-to-play model. If Aaron can't save you any money, it ain't going to cost you anything. It's not like attorneys where you're on the clock. Every 15 minutes, they're banging you for money. No, Aaron's going to get on the call with you. If I save you money, great. I get a little piece of it. If I don't, it was nice knowing you, took care of your financial, physical. I think, Aaron, it's a great story. I mean, over 20 years in the business, I love the idea of the sabbatical, of trying to incentivize employees and trying to retain great quality clients and great quality employees. I think that's so important in today's world. And I just want to thank you for being on the show.
No, I appreciate you guys having me. It's really fun. Y'all are a hoot.
All right. Sounds good, guys. I appreciate it. And gang, as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He's the G-Daddy, and we make it happen. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank y'all.